Tonight, the 45-page indictment against Donald Trump for his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. The former president now charged with three conspiracies to defraud the United States, to obstruct the vote certification on January 6th, and to deprive people of their constitutional rights.
We do begin with this major development in the special counsel's investigation of former President Donald Trump. A federal grand jury has now criminally indicted the former president out of the special counsel's investigation into his efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
Tonight, breaking news, a third indictment of former President Donald Trump, this time for his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election.
The nation's process attack on our nation's capital on January 6th, 2021, was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the U.S. government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election.
Did any news happen yesterday? I don't know. I didn't hear anything happen yesterday. 712 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Of course, the big news of the day is the fact that President Trump has now been indicted for yet a third set of charges. The previous one coming out of Jack Smith's office had to do with all of the classified documents, the handling of those. That's still an ongoing case. And this one, as you heard there, from all of the news services and, of course, top of the hour Fox and every internet and every social media. And I mean, if you didn't know, I'm sorry. I certainly don't want to insult your mechanism of gathering information, but you should know by now. Anyway, he's been charged with these four different things related to the election. Also, six co-conspirators. NBC says they've identified five of them. They're not named in the indictment. Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Sidney Powell, Jeffrey Clark, and Ken Cheesebro. There's one more yet they haven't figured out. Those folks won't get named until there's charges involving them, assuming that they will eventually get charged. The president himself responding to this in a way that only President Trump can respond to this. On Truth Social, he says, oh, hell no, or something like that. I mean, that's sort of a paraphrase, but I hear that deranged Jack Smith. Now, what's interesting to me about this is, of course, the president's always going to attach a personal attack to whatever. I think it's funny that he capitalizes it. Deranged is capitalized. Like, in the grand scheme of the choices he could make, capitalizing the man's adjective, pejorative, is important to him. I don't know. It's funny to me. I hear that deranged Jack Smith, in order to interfere with, like, it's his legal name, in order to interfere with the presidential election of 2024, that's his claim, right? They're claiming he interfered in the election. He's claiming they're interfering in the election upcoming. We'll be putting out yet another fake indictment of your favorite president, me. Still cracks me up. Of your favorite president, Bill Clinton. Like, what was the other thing that was going to go behind the comma there? Anyway, your indictment of your favorite president, me, at 5 p.m. Why didn't they do this 2.5 years ago? Why did they wait so long? Because they wanted to put it right in the middle of my campaign. Prosecutorial misconduct. And it's true. If you look at all of the history of, you know, the various indictments, it does seem like, first of all, timing is weird here, being 2.5 years late. Or, you know, by some accounts, 1 year early, you know, could have been closer to the election, right? But, you know, they want to derail him in the primaries, or is there other, we'll get to that. But, you know, Hunter laptop comes out. Trump says he's going to be invited back in March. Documents claiming Biden was bribed, and then the Mar-a-Lago indictment comes out. And Devin Archer testifies, and then the January 6th indictment comes out. Like, that's weird, you know, and so the problem with all of this is not that the charges aren't serious. They are serious. They basically are built around the premise that he knew that he had lost the election, that people had told him that his claims of particular election fraud. Somebody made a good note to me. They said, you shouldn't use the word widespread. It's not about being widespread. It's about being effective or about having, you know, impactful election fraud, right? You don't have to do election fraud in many states. You only have to do it in a couple of key places. And that's a good point. Widespread is really a bad term. Anyway, that there was effective key election fraud that he believed happened. And some will say, and the indictment says, he knew that was false. He was being told by people like his attorney general, Bill Barr, that that's not true. And yet he went ahead with the claims, his repeated claims about election fraud and about the election was rigged, it was stolen. You've heard all of this stuff. And that contributed to an environment that fostered January 6th, but that also was the background of him being involved in creating fake slates of electors and other things along those lines that are, you know, real active interference with the election process or the certification of the election process. And those are the basis of the claims against him. So there's one school of thought which says that if he, you know, if he can show that he believed the election was stolen, that maybe he has a defense there. We'll get to that in a second. Before we get to that, we got John Pickens sitting in today for Candy with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. We see a disabled vehicle. It says with roadblock, but I'm not seeing any delays there. Just some onlookers at Davis Highway and Johnson Avenue. Just a small little delay there. Other than that, everything is flowing smoothly. That's a look at your traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Mm-hmm. So back to the discussion about Trump. You had Alan Dershowitz. Channel 3 had played him last night on their news. I thought it was interesting. Sinclair did a much better job of giving, you know, response from the other side than any of the ABC, NBC, or CBS that I saw. Of course, Channel 3, our ABC affiliate, is also a Sinclair station. Anyway, they played a clip from Alan Dershowitz and also John Fishwick Jr., who's a former U.S. attorney. Here's what they had to say about it.
They don't have the smoking gun. I think the election was fair. People told him the election was fair, but they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that in his own mind, he actually knew the election was fair and that he corruptly then tried to undo the election.
I'm sure he will raise the defense of free speech. I'm entitled to say certain things. And he'll also raise the defense of, I had lawyers who were advising me and I followed their advice. I think this case is more complicated because it raises attorney-client privilege, executive privilege, and free speech.
Yeah, so there's going to be there are going to be many dimensions to this case, okay? One is going to be the effort to show that he really believed what he was saying. I'm torn on that one, okay? Because on the one hand, I know that President Trump was being told by many people in his inner circle that you're wrong. But I think that he is capable of believing anything that it's important to him to believe. Okay? And so I believe that he believes he can't possibly have lost. And because it's so important to him to believe that he can't possibly have lost, he will find anything else to believe to support that belief, and he will believe that because, you know, some people's belief structures work on the basis of evidence and reason and, you know, not many, okay? Honestly, if you look at all of human behavior, you find that that's not a really common belief structure formation mechanism. But other people are, you know, will believe really anything that fits what they want to believe or are committed to believe. And he is certainly more to that end of the spectrum. This is why it's very hard for him to ever admit that he's wrong. I don't think he ever has even admitted that he's wrong about anything because his brain doesn't work that way. Some people see that as a virtue. Some people see it as a flaw. I'm just saying that's how I think Trump works. So I believe that at some point he definitely believed that he had can't possibly have lost. Therefore, whatever he needed to believe to support that belief is what he believes. So does he have doubts about that? Did he ever have doubts about that, private moments or whatever? Well, that's going to come up in the conversation, I'm sure. But the other point, and you heard the former U.S. attorney make the comment there, attorney-client privilege is going to be an issue here, right? How do you get communications from an attorney like, say, Bill Barr, telling him, you know, hey, this isn't true? That's, you know, privilege or executive privilege even. Now, he's testified about some of this stuff when he testified in the January 6th hearings, but that's going to be an interesting question of how much of a case they can make without being able to use the testimony of other defendants, you know, who themselves may be protected by attorney-client privilege, may be protected by the Fifth Amendment protections against self-incrimination. I mean, it's going to be an interesting case to see how all of this plays out. It is serious. The jail time involved will be 5 to 20 years. You know, we still don't know if this is the end of it all, right? But the other part of this is, what's the reaction by people who are Trump supporters? Oh, good. Another, you know, right? Because the problem is that the folks who are the opponents of the president have set themselves up for that criticism because they have seized on anything and everything they can to attack him. And because so much of it was just smoke and nonsense, like the Russia hoax that was a whole bunch of government misbehavior and the abuse of the FISA courts. And, you know, there's a lot of backstory here, but that stuff turns out to be false. And then the two impeachment nonsense hearings, that turns out to be goofy, false mostly, and overblown. And then you have the Mar-a-Lago thing, again, with the timing is suspect, and the comparison to other presidents. It just, it feels like anything they can possibly do to take him down is what they'll do. And that makes anything they do to try to take him down look like it's just part of a pattern of animus rather than a byproduct of good reasoning, evidence, and a careful analysis of the law. Plus, it is in the middle of an election cycle, which adds, again, reason for skepticism about motives and bias and abuse of the system. So, it, you know, will it persuade anybody? I'll tell you what I think the net impact of this is politically is it only helps Trump. It further solidifies his place as the front runner in the Republican Party. It makes it impossible for any of the other front runners or any of the other also runners at this point to really say much because they can't defend Biden. They have to be very careful to not alienate the Republican base that generally believes most of this is done, even if it's legitimate, it's basically done to harass the former president. So they're in a position where they can't really fight back and the gap keeps widening. So then you have to really ask the question, are they trying to take Trump out or are they trying to make Trump the front runner, believing that he's the only person that Joe Biden can win against and get reelected? Either way, it's not good. 722 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you've got pests dealing with your home, you got mosquitoes, you got termites, you got, I mean, goodness, I hate to bring it up, but bed bugs, you know, you got ants, you got rodents, even insect. They will take care of it. They'll come in and look at what you've got, inspections and, you know, just looking at things is totally, estimates totally free. They'll look at what you got if you decide to go with them. They'll take pictures. They'll do treatments. They'll take after pictures. They'll send you a full comprehensive report so you know what you did and you have a good documentary record of it. If it happens to be fire ants, it takes just one treatment. That one treatment bonds with the soil, guarantees you a full year of fire ant protection. Right now, it's $25 off annual fire ant contracts. If it's mosquitoes, they have a scientific way of figuring out which mosquito, therefore which treatment will be most effective against those mosquitoes. Take care of that. Protect your yard. $50 off annual pest control contracts. There are some restrictions, so be sure to read the details in the contract. They're also hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, and Panama City. Good pay and benefits, 401k, health insurance, and a chance to advance and grow. You can apply at workwithensec. That's ENSEC.com.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. For almost a decade, I've been telling you about my friends at Frontier Motors in Pensacola. The biggest reason is they help my listeners save thousands of dollars when purchasing a slightly used car over a brand new one. Consumer Reports says the average new car depreciates a whopping $9,200 in the first year alone. That's crazy. So if you're thinking new, don't. Go see Frontier Motors and see how much they can save you on a current year car with very low miles. And if your goal is to get out of debt, bring Frontier Motors your car and they can write you a check on the spot. Frontier Motors can also do consignments and they don't charge a fee or a commission. Frontier Motors have been helping the people in the Pensacola area for 21 years. They are the go-to dealer for free advice when it comes to buying or selling a car. Please go see my friends at Frontier Motors. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey sent you.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
No person needs to pursue pride. Carnal pride is the natural resting place of a person's heart. In contrast, 1 Peter 5:6 calls people to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Notice that the task to pursue humility is given to us. It says, humble yourselves. So what's your plan to humble yourself? I suggest that that plan should begin with the phrase, under the mighty hand of God. What good thing do you have that you didn't receive from God's mighty hand? The answer is nothing. Humility begins with the realization that every positive thing I am and every good thing that I have is all because of God's lavish grace through the provision of His mighty hand. Pursuing humility starts with praising God. Be sure to take time to humbly adore Jesus for His grace in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us today at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Dr. Hasseldorf, what can we expect in the next few hours?
Well, Gail, by this time, the hostages should be going through the early stages of the Helsinki syndrome.
As in Helsinki, Sweden.
Finland.
Oh, I got a couple of really interesting notes in here I'll share with you in just a second. You can always text me at 437-1620 about the Trump indictment. I'll get to that in a moment. First, we've got traffic on the fives with John Pickens sitting in this morning so capably. Thank you, John, for coming in this morning. For Candy, who's out?
No problem. Traffic on the fives. Seeing I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Had that disabled vehicle on Davis Highway and Johnson Avenue. It is now gone off the scene. Everything's looking good. Even Highway 90 through Pace and East Milton are looking good also. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. If you haven't been to Pensacola Hardware, just go. I mean, just you don't want to be that person when, you know, it comes up in some conversation. People like, you haven't been to Pensacola. You know, you don't want to be that person, okay? So go. And just trust me, here's what you'll find. You'll find a place that, you know, people will say, you know, my grandfather took my dad and my dad took me. Like that kind of a place. It's been around since 1851, before there was a Civil War, before there was Levi's Jeans. There's been a Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida. And when you go in, what's amazing is it's not just that they have expertise, which they do, which they can help you on any project. You think you know it? Ask them. You think you don't know it? Ask them. You can't go wrong either way. But they have so much stuff that's just interesting and different. And, oh, my God, I've never even seen that before. That's the kind of place it is. And then in the front of the store, there's houseware. So it's gift time, right? Yeti merchandise, all kinds of stuff. Weber grills, cookware. I'll just trust me. Just trust me. Just go. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Fitch is downgrading the U.S. debt rating from the highest AAA rating to AA+. Several factors cited, including what Fitch calls a steady deterioration in standards of governance over the last 20 years. Gas prices going nowhere but up, Andrew. AAA reporting the national average at $3.80 a gallon, up a couple cents from yesterday. And here in our area, prices up as well, as you went over the gas prices here just a little bit ago. And former President Trump due to be arraigned tomorrow after being indicted on election interference charges that culminated in the January 6th Capitol riot.
To take President Trump to trial in 90 days, of course, is absurd. The question is, why do they want to do that?
That's one of Trump's attorneys, John Lauro. He criticized the timing of the trial. He was doing an interview on the Today Show, and he says Trump's legal team plans to relitigate every issue from the 2020 election.
Man, my only question is, is there any chance this happens before the election? It's hard to imagine. I mean, they're right. 90 days is insane.
Yeah,
it's
very difficult.
For anything like this, and for a complicated case like this, and for the first ever of its kind like that, I don't see it. It's hard to see it happening before the election, but okay. 729, David, thanks so much for the update. Got a couple of texts in here. Somebody said, the current state of our federal political system makes me believe we're moving closer and closer to a point where we have to stand together and fight it out for a presidential candidate. Before long, we'll have presidents that are wrestlers and boxers, but there's anyone. And somebody said, Trump, if he was convicted, he'd be proud of his conviction and a badge of honor. Or a power play, which I think would play to his base for sure, for the people who support it and other people who are sympathetic. Somebody else had a very interesting observation. They said, as much as I hate to say it, targeted election fraud, the way Trump believes, if it were true, would be better than if 2020 had been perfectly fair. If the election was rigged, that can be fixed easier than if the country really believes in what he says are the communist ideas of the left. If the country is really believing in somebody like Joe Biden, that's much harder to fix than if it's just a few elections officials and things like that. I thought that was a very interesting observation. We'll be back with Mayor Reeves coming up next after David tells you about local news after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump's campaign calls it persecution reminiscent of Nazi Germany. Criminal charges over trying to stay in power after losing the 2020 election.
Special Counsel Jack Smith charged the former president with conspiracies to defraud the United States, disenfranchise voters, and obstruct an official proceeding. Federal prosecutors say Trump repeatedly disseminated claims of widespread election fraud and that he really won the election despite knowing it was not true. He's due in federal court here in D.C. tomorrow.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Russian drone strikes hit grain silos and a port in Odessa, Ukraine.
Some two dozen drones were launched towards Ukraine overnight. Many were intercepted. There has been significant damage. Russia's targeting Ukraine's ports until recently used to export grain to the world under a deal with the UN.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 78 in Pensacola. Looks like a beautiful morning out there. Pensacola police putting the call out to the public for assistance in solving a triple shooting over the weekend. It happened at the Northwood Apartments. PPD Chief Eric Randall says three people were sitting in a car near the apartments on 9th and Olive when another car pulled up and at least one person started shooting. He's asking anybody that may have been in the area around that time that has an in-car camera to see if any of their footage stands out.
In today's society, we do have a lot of people that travel and have in-car camera systems. So a lot of times we don't think about that, that, you know, as we're traversing through our daily duties, we may have captured something on camera in our in-car cameras.
And that shooting again happened about 4:50 on Saturday afternoon, Randall says. The suspect vehicle headed westbound on Olive. The victims drove down 9th Avenue towards Sacred Heart Hospital. Again, if you have any of that footage, contact PPD. Let them know. Police in Atmore say they're looking for a suspect in a fatal shooting that happened last week. Officers looking for 19-year-old Antonio LaMarcus Petaway. They believe he might be in the Mobile area. They're looking for him in connection with the shooting on Brooks Lane that happened in Atmore on the 25th. And police say a driver was shot several times. The man was taken to the hospital where he died. If you see Petaway, police say do not approach him. Call 911. Parents, teachers, and students aren't the only ones that are getting ready to go back to school. Santa Rosa County's school resource deputies started their annual training this week.
Resource officer is to make sure that our schools are as safe as possible. The safety of our students in this county is of utmost importance to all of us.
And that is Chief Deputy Randy Tift, and he tells Channel 3 that 32 resource officers and one canine trained on active assailant and in-classroom situations are getting ready to get back to work. They're training on situations involving drugs, narcotics, and social media. The sheriff's office makes sure every school in the county has at least one deputy that is on campus. Escambia County Fire Rescue is named their interim chief. Battalion Chief Adam Harrison will be assuming that role later on this month. Harrison began his tenure with ECFR in 1993, started as a volunteer firefighter, got certified as a firefighter in 1996, went full-time in 2001, and since 2017, Harrison's been the battalion chief on B-Watch over the northern half of Escambia County. Jubilee Church partnering with community organizations to host a back-to-school event that's happening at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds over the this coming Saturday from 9 a.m. until noon. They'll be distributing backpacks filled with school supplies, also providing haircuts for kids, and they'll have food and produce giveaways as well. It is 735 at News Radio 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. This traffic on the fives. Traffic is flowing very smoothly. Seeing some minor delays on 98, but I-10, I-110, not seeing any delays there. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is going to be another hot day today. Temperatures near 98 degrees, feeling much warmer with a 10% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Temperatures drop slightly on Thursday with a high near 94 as more rain builds in. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. It is 78 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, and 74 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kushinka with Your Money Now. The labor market is showing signs of easing, with slowly falling job openings adding to figures that show the Fed is making progress in cooling the economy and lowering inflation. Job openings declined by 34,000 to 9.6 million in June from May, the lowest level since April of 2021. Layoffs held nearly steady at 1.5 million in June. Employers reported fewer openings in the transportation and warehousing industries. Openings also declined in state and local education and the federal government. Job openings are down from a record 12 million in March of 2022, but they remain well above pre-pandemic levels. One of Walmart's latest offerings at its supercenters isn't a toy or a snack, it's advertising. Shoppers will soon see more third-party ads on screens in Walmart self-checkout lanes and TV aisles, hear spots over the store's radio, and be able to sample items at demo stations. Walmart's push into advertising resembles similar moves by retailers like Kroger and Target. Your Money Now.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Good morning, 738 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news, and every Wednesday this time we talk to Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola morning news, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good
to
have you.
Looking forward to it, as always.
Oh, good. Hey, first thing I wanted to ask you about, I knew, you know, you had been working on this idea of bringing in a parking consultant, Philip Olivier, if I'm saying his name correctly, who used to work with Premier, and I think I understand what the goal is here, but you tell me from your perspective, what are you trying to accomplish with him?
Yeah, I mean, let's lay the groundwork that what we all know right now is parking isn't where it needs to be. And, you know, for a long time, we've kind of said blue is us and red is them. And when I get a lot of emails, I continue to say that. we don't really have much control over those premium red lots. So what my ultimate goal is certainly get to a better place than where we are right now, which is should be pretty easy to do. And that's where the private lot owners have you charge what they want. They can boot if they want. And the enforcement is handled not as cleanly as ours. We've got to get to a better place than that. So we're going to have an analysis of our current parking, you know, what should be charged, what shouldn't be charged on the blue spaces, as well as potentially look at a new app on our side and try to get one of the best apps in the country that I would say is something that we could improve on in the blue lots. And then look for opportunities to continue to grow inventory and more to come with that. But at the end of the day, the more simple we can make this for people, a lot of times I get emails about, and the first email starts with, oh, it's expensive. Well, I know that's not the case because we only charge 50 cents an hour. So I know that's not the case. But what people usually mean is it's difficult for me to use.
Right.
Or I got a ticket one time and I'm never coming back. And as I told a Rotary Club yesterday, when a visitor leaves after getting a $90 ticket in a private lot, they don't delineate between whether that was the mayor or not.
Right, that's right.
Or whether that was the city or not. All they do is they go back home and they say, I had a bad experience.
I'm tired
of saying that's not my job.
Just one thing I want to add. There's a third reason that people get frustrated, and that is we'll call it the Andrew McKay effect. I have to pay it all? That's another reason that people get frustrated. But go ahead. You were saying it's right. They don't distinguish. They get upset, and then they don't come back.
Right, exactly. They don't. So we the city and the mayor are in the worst case scenario, which is we get all the blame for what happens. 95% of the complaints come, at least 90%, into private lots, and we have to deal with it. And as I've told private lot owners, we are eroding the experience of our community, and I can't just sit alongside anymore and say that's not my job. I mean, we've got to do something. And so that's the reason we're doing this, is we're getting an expert who's done this before that understands really all sides of this issue, both public and private and everything else, and we're going to get something better than we have now.
So the idea is what I call the outside eyes effect, which is somebody who's not in the middle of it but who has experience, who can come in and, look at what your company does and say, why on earth do you do that? Can we come up with a better way?
Right.
Exactly. Okay, so I did have a question posed to me. It's an allegation, I guess, of sorts, and I think I know what the answer would be, but I wanted to pose it to you because apparently this is a rumor running around, is the folks that are being hired, it's a brand-new consulting company. They don't really know anything. This is just some kind of crony friends of the mayor kind of thing. I'm asking you because somebody asked me.
Sure. I've never spoken on the phone with Mr. Olivier at any point until this process started, so we aren't – it would be difficult to say we're very good friends, but – but what it is it's someone who understands all sides of this, has been on the private lot side of things. He certainly has been in the parking game for a long, long time. And he has specific, unique experience to local. He's worked in this market. So there isn't a real long list of people that can say that, that really understand all sides of this and understand the locality and the uniqueness of our city. So, it's a no-brainer for us, and I know he's going to bring us a lot of knowledge that things that we wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah, and I personally, I like the idea of hiring the enemy. I mean, you hired the red lot guy to see if we can't find a solution. Because not just because he understands, but because he might see unique ways of solving the problem from within that culture that you may not see as an outsider or not. So I appreciate that as well. Go ahead.
One other thing, I've heard, this is a premium. Someone works premium. He doesn't work for premium at this point. So, as you said, he has the knowledge, perhaps, of how private lots work, but he does not work for premium. So, some notion that, lots are going to all go to premium or this or that. I mean, none of that is, has any basis whatsoever.
And I would feel like I had done a disservice to my own self-importance if I didn't say this. You could just try an experiment where we went with free parking again. Just saying as an alternative, Anyway, I know it's not going to happen, but,
you fish the radio on that idea.
No, but you did say something. You said there's more inventory to come. Should I anticipate that that's going to be of what happened like on Spring Street? You're going to find a street where you can do a little bit of a readjustment where you could create some spots because we don't need that. Is that the kind of thing you're looking at?
Exactly. Well, where should we be charging? Where should we not? I don't know that we've ever taken a holistic look at that. I think we said we charge here, then we haven't. So some, there might be spaces that are free right now that will be charged. North Palafox is an example. I mean, do we charge there or do we not? But then on the flip side, there might be places we charge where we don't, so that's why we're doing this. We optimize it, that's what we're looking
for. And just, again, as a citizen user, okay, I know this, but it might help to hear it from somebody else, is whatever the assessment, the survey, the comprehensive look decides to do, please just make one change and let it be for a long time. Because I think for me anyway, the frustration is, they added paid parking on that one. I got to go over here. Oh, now they added paid parking on that one. Or they changed the hours. And it seems like it's this ever-shifting landscape that's as frustrating as the problem itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's also why we haven't made many. If you look, we certainly could have reasoned adding areas or change. Two-hour parking has been outdated for 30 years.
Yeah.
But I could go change that right now if I wanted to, but for that exact reason.
Good.
I want to have one shot at this, and that's why we're going to be meticulous about it. We're going to bring a consultant in and all that. So, I agree with you. I think that's our goal.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. We'll be back him in just a second. John Pickens sitting in for Candy this morning with Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. Got one accident. We're working right now. Brent Lane and Bellamy Avenue. No roadblock there, but I'm starting to see delays around that. I-10, I-110 starting to get the volume delays right now. Other than that, that's a look at the traffic. It's Traffic on the Fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. Mayor Reeves, we didn't really give much chance to at least mention this, but congratulations to the design team for the airport. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very excited about that because and that was one of the early things we wanted to get in, and we got that $2 million from FDOT to get going on that design. As we all know, anybody who's flown to the airport, I'm flying through there tomorrow, that we know how busy it is. It's bursting at the seams, really a process that probably we're overdue on. And so I'm very, very excited to see this design move forward. So really looking forward to that. And hopefully, if we keep working hard, and I'll keep going back to Washington as many times as I need to get the federal portion of the funding, that we need to be focused on getting this $70 million in order in the next 6 to 9 months. So when that design's done, we're ready to go.
Yeah, nicely done. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is we had ideas. Now we're not sure where we are, but I know you guys keep working on it. Where do we stand with the old Baptist property? Because when they move, which is soon, we don't yet have a solution for what to do with that land, right?
Absolutely. So, look, I think the Baptist Hospital, they're well aware. They've put a lot of work into the last couple of years what their obligation is when they leave in terms of doing what's best and what's right for the neighborhood and for the community. And certainly we're stepping in to be collaborative for that same reason, is to say, here's a potential 50-acre parcel in the heart of our pretty small city in terms of square miles. These kinds of parcels don't come along often. How do we ensure that what happens after they leave is something that's good, not only good for the community, but could be transformational for the community, depending on what we do there. So we've played an active role in that and having some conversations, and we actually just had a meeting with Baptist and with Senator Broxson last week that we've kind of all looked each other in the eye now. And, even my joke in the meeting is I said, we've been talking, but it's probably time to start dating. And what I mean is, we've got to start to really galvanize what this is going to be. If we go help, potentially fund demolition with state dollars or federal dollars or grant dollars, those kinds of things. And of course, we've already played an active role in that already with getting a $5 million grant from CDBG. What does that look like? Is that how much of the property would the city get? All those kinds of things that need to be worked through. So I'm confident we're going to get there. But we've now reached the perfect time to really start to put pen to paper about what that looks like. So we're really all on the same page there, and that should be coming probably within the next 30 days.
Very good. Last quick question before we get to the lightning round. Graffiti Bridge, where are we at on getting a solution implemented?
Yeah, good question. So like anything else, you peel back the onion and there's a couple more things to go that just are really back to your parking request, which is to try to do this all at once. That's what we're doing at Wayside. If you've driven by there, the boat launch parking lot was asphalt poured on dirt many years ago. So that's all busted up. We're looking at that train trestle that we were able to get approved in 2017. We also have some Skanska dollars coming in for the parking lot that they use at Wayside. And if you've been down to Wayside, that needs improvement as well.
Yeah.
So what we're moving forward with right now is a holistic design from basically the graffiti bridge down to Wayside. So we have the funding still in place for the chimes, as we call it.
Yeah.
But what we realized was there's about a 300-foot opening right there at Wayside. So where are you going to put them? And so we want to make sure that we design the whole thing with every piece of this in mind. So that's the only reason we put a mothball on that for now is just so we're ready to go. We've got the funding for it, but we want to make sure we put those chimes in the right place. like they're not going to hit a boat or anything like that. So we're really looking at it more of the big picture right now.
Okay, so right now that's essentially on pause with no implementation date in mind. Is that fair?
Yes, that's fair. Pending the complete design of the whole wayside and all okay. that structure, but we're moving forward with that.
I got you. Last thing, we always like to do a lightning round. First question for you: when you go get fast food, assuming you do, are you a drive-through or a go-into-the-counter?
Oh, definitely a drive-thru. Definitely. I mean, if I can order it on an app, even better.
All right, you're that guy. That's fine. That's fine. Do you prefer to make a phone call or do you prefer to make a video call? Do you want the other person to see you and you can see them?
You know, I am a millennial, but I'm like the oldest millennial, so I'm still a phone call. I don't, you know, maybe I'm too self-conscious for the video call.
I'm the same way. Honestly, I am. When you get your hair done, do you want the barber, the stylist to make small talk with you or to just do the work?
Small talk. He's a buddy of mine. I'm actually going at 9 o'clock. You must be following my schedule.
I swear I'm not stalking you.
Now, exactly. I'm going to be thinking about that now. But no, yeah, small talk. He's a friend of mine, so we usually catch him.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And last one is Blue Wahoos yesterday with NAS Pensacola CEO Terry Shashady Village. They gave him a bunch of call signs, so they're going to have a night out at the ballpark with a Ted Williams bobblehead. I love this promotion. It's fantastic. If D.C. Reeves had a call sign, what would his call sign be? And now, it's not fair because you never get to self-assign.
Oh,
I should probably ask Alex what call sign he would assign you. But
Exactly. Yeah. I was just going to say, I probably wouldn't do it. I've already got a big head physically as it is, so you really wouldn't need like a bobblehead. You know, I'd have to. but I don't know.
They could just call you Bobble.
It's the first time you stumped me. I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll get a little bit of thought together. I'll talk with Alex and see if we can't come up with something. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of. That's right. The mayor of Pensacola. As always, sir, thanks for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. 752 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 5th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital is Friday, August 25th, Center Court at Cordova Mall, presented by Hanto and Clark.
Wind Creek Casino and Hotel will match donations up to $20,000.
All the money stays right here.
Hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
Thank you to our HOPE sponsors this year, Escambia County Sheriff's Office, International Paper, and Penn Air Credit Union.
Thank you.
Proceeds will benefit the life-saving programs and services at Studer Family Children's Hospital. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Penn Air Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Penn Air's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pennair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Ready or not, Educational Opportunity Centers will get you there. To college, to the workforce, or to start a new career pathway.
Funded by the Department of Education, we are your free community resource for adults in Escambia and Santa Rosa County seeking higher education. Located on Pensacola State College campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, and Milton.
It's never too late to start. For wherever you want to go, get there with Educational Opportunity Centers.
Call 850-484-1961 today for a free consultation.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
One thing more.
I suggest you have this piano repaired. When I sit down to an instrument, I like to have it in tune.
But, George, you don't play.
Madam, that is entirely beside the point.
It's New Stones, not Old Stones. 7:55 on, of course, everything they do now is Old Stones. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. John Pickens is sitting in for Candy this morning with traffic on the fives.
That's right. We have an accident that just happened, a patrol car crash at Pace Patriot Boulevard and Pace Road. That's right in front of Pace High School. The roadway is blocked there, so you definitely want to go around that. And also, still dealing with that broke down vehicle right there, Brent Lane and Bellamy Avenue. Okay. So other than that, I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. That's a look at traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. 26 years. Everything was so perfect the whole show. I know, but I knew there's going to be interesting challenges come up. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, the start of school is right around the corner. A lot of parents hitting the stores to get their kids ready for the first day of class. Now, in addition to shoes and backpacks, apparently there's been a big rush on computers this year.
With COVID, when we saw such a shift to online education, one of the things that retailers saw was an uptick in the shopping among electronics.
That is John McCord from the Retailers Association. He says families really aren't spending a lot more this year, but they're shifting, buying more electronics, less clothing. Asylum seekers in New York apparently still sleeping on the sidewalks outside of that hotel in Midtown Manhattan. This is New York City is struggling to find shelters for them. Mayor Eric Adams says his administration is trying to figure out a solution. They're asking the federal government for more help. And there's an investigation underway in Crenshaw County, Alabama. Apparently, dozens of cows have died mysterious deaths there. Jason Holliday owns JT Holliday Farms and tells NBC 12 that 12 of his 54 cows apparently have died within the last 6 months. Apparently, a kid had been arrested for shooting a few cows, but the other 52 cow deaths remain a mystery there.
Ugh, man, that's awful. All right, David, thanks so much for the update, I think. 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, of course, Christina Leavenworth is fantastic at this. And, you know, she sold 230 homes last year, and so her ability to get homes sold and to give you good advice is just, I mean, unparalleled, really. And so if you are thinking about it, that's the place where you want to start. Like, I'm not sure, okay? Or maybe you want to buy. Like, you've been renting and you notice the high price of rent and, of course, the high price of homes too. But, you know, maybe it's chilled out just a little bit. You say, I need to get advice, but I don't want to bother Christina. She's so busy. I don't want to bother her. She likes it. She specifically said the other week she was on with Tammy Martin on Pep Talk, and she said specifically, bother me. It's not a bother. I like talking with people. I like meeting people. Even if we don't work out a deal, even if you don't sell or buy, it's okay. Maybe you do in a couple of years. Maybe you never do. Maybe you refer a friend. Maybe you never do. I don't care. I love talking with people and helping them, even if it means helping them realize that the best choice is to really not do this. She doesn't mind doing that. So 723-9158. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. Very interesting article, front page of the PNJ today, talking about something that we have known was an issue, which is the hangar that the Blue Angels use on the base and the concern, because it's already in terrible condition since Hurricane Sally. Remember, there's a $500 million price tag almost for the total repairs for everything related to NAS Pensacola. And it's a long, slow process of getting all of that work done to the degree that it's even funded, another issue. But getting this hangar restored and rebuilt and so that it's safe, and that way that if there is a storm, that we don't run the risk of losing the Blues or anything like that. I mean, these are the kind of things that we've got to be thinking about. And, you know, getting the funding set up for that, getting the Navy on board, it's not happening just yet. Good article by Jim Little, and I think Molly and Tom also helped with that article. So it's a good long article. It's a pretty in-depth one. But anyway, this one storm away from utter disaster is kind of the idea of it. 7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. We'll be back in just a minute and talk about the call sign naming that happened yesterday at the Wahoos. Kind of an interesting story coming up next.